Many media outlets were quick to report numbers from a recent Pew Research Center study that found marriage to be in a state of decline here in the U.S. But there was good news in that report, too, that you might not have heard. Pro-family groups point out the Pew poll also revealed that 84% of those who are married say they are, quote, very happy with their family life, compared with 71% of those who cohabitate and just 66% of those who are single. Also, 67% of adults are optimistic about the future of marriage and the family. They are more optimistic about it than virtually anything else in their lives. Divorce now has its own tab amongst those health, arts, books, religion, and other newsworthy tabs at the liberal Huffington Post website. With a pronouncement, quote, marriage comes and goes, but divorce is forever, the site has launched a new selection. It carries headlines such as divorce comfort foods and dealing with post-jewelry split. Arianna Huffington says our goal is to provide a fast, interactive connection to divorce. This is SRN News. A new report does not bode well for state legislatures in the near future.
The report from the National Governors Association and National Association of State Budget Officers says state lawmakers around the country may have to make additional spending cuts over the next couple of years. The reasons? Dwindling assistance from the federal government and a slow recovery in tax revenue. The report notes states will spend about $43 billion in economic stimulus funds during the current fiscal year. Beyond that, they'll probably have to get by with less federal funding. Jeremy House, SRN News.
Police are investigating a burglary at an Anne Arundel County, Maryland food bank where robbers stole computer equipment. They didn't touch the food, but it's not particularly good news. Food bank officials say this is indeed the worst time of the year to have a break-in and lose their computer gear. The staff has to keep records, write notes, and try and pass out food for Christmas. It's going to be a lot harder now. More details on these and other stories at srnnews.com.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. And now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we're tackling pediatric sports medicine and orthopedics with guest expert, pediatric orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Drew Warnick of the Children's Orthopedics and Scoliosis Surgery Associates in St. Petersburg, Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events and a combined 7,500 hours of education on those 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And if you want to read more about our radio shows, listen to a previous podcast, you can go to our website, focusonfemales.com, and on the home page, the bottom left corner, is a link to the radio show page, and you can pull up the last 3 years of radio shows and listen or listen again to a show or listen for the first time, and you'll see the topics listed as well. Also, every 2 months, I write a column for the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper. This Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper is free and found at over 3,000 Tampa Bay area locations, such as medical offices, health clubs, specialty organic grocery stores, hair and beauty salons, and so on. The articles are based on cases through which we have impacted women, family members that we've impacted through our efforts, our free efforts, that is to say, on these radio shows, as well as the big signature event in March, the symposium. The articles are educational, informational, and resourceful. Also on that in that newspaper, the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper, is a list of upcoming radio shows. So today, pediatric sports medicine orthopedics, Dr. Drew Warnick is here. Drew, it's good to see you, and thanks for being here.
Good to see you, too. It's a real privilege, and I appreciate it.
Dr. Drew Warnick is an orthopedic surgeon with fellowship training in pediatric orthopedic surgery and pediatric sports medicine. He received his medical degree from Northwestern University and completed his residency at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood, Illinois. He then went on to complete a fellowship at the Atlanta Scottish Rite Hospital for Children. And where is that hospital?
That hospital is right in Atlanta. It's in the perimeter area. And it was actually the first pediatric orthopedic hospital that was built in our country. And actually, if you've heard about the Shriners Hospitals, they actually modeled all of their hospitals after that original hospital. Now, you know, it's merged and it's the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta system, but it was the original pediatric orthopedic hospital in our country.
Excellent. So they're devoted to pediatric orthopedic issues.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Dr. Warnick is a member of several professional organizations, including the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the Pediatric Orthopedic Society of North America, and the Arthroscopy Association of North America. He has authored book chapters, peer-reviewed publications, and has conducted regional and national presentations. His interests include pediatric and adolescent sports, medicine, and hip problems in kids. And with that, we encourage each of you listening now to call in with your questions. The questions could be about your kids. It could be about yourself. Maybe you had a pediatric orthopedic issue as a kid and are experiencing issues now. Anything at all in this area. And the number to call is 289-1860. That's 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, it's toll-free, 877-969-8600. Toll-free, 877-969-8600. So let's talk a little bit about general pediatric sports medicine orthopedic issues. And why don't we begin with males and females? Now, and I should also say to our listeners that you should feel if you're a guy or if you're a mom or dad and have a question about your son, again, we encourage you to call. Show is called Focus on Females, but really we want to reach out and touch and help each and every one of you. So this is, there's no gender preference here. Call in, ask your questions. We're here to help you. Drew, why are males, generally speaking, taller than females?
So I like this question, one, because it kind of shows why pediatric orthopedics is different from adult orthopedics. And the reason that males are in general are taller than females is because females begin to mature 2 years earlier than males. In general, girls begin their growth spurt at 11 years and finish growing completely at 16 years, where males begin their growth spurt 2 years later at 13 years and finish growing at 18 years. So they really have two more years of growth left, and that's it. Why, in general, they're taller. And this is really what separates the two. In pediatric orthopedics, we deal with problems of growth. So when children have growing bones and growth plates in their bones, The ultimate goal of the pediatric orthopedist is to treat the injuries and conditions in a manner that avoids problems with the growth centers.
Let me ask you, that's interesting. So the fact that, girls, generally speaking, are felt to mature earlier than us guys, so this is part of that process that the girls have an earlier growth spurt. Would you say?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think anyone really knows why females start to mature 2 years earlier, but that's just inherent in our genome,
DNA.
In our genetics.
And so, because of that, then the males have additional growth a little later on, and therefore that enables them to, or enables us to, be taller than the average female. What are the implications of that as far as sports injuries or orthopedic considerations?
So some of the implications. So one of the surgeries that I do is ACL surgeries. And
let's first back up and talk, generally speaking, about what an ACL is for those that don't know.
Okay, so the ACL is a ligament in the knee. And what a ligament does is it connects, it's a fibroelastic tissue that really connects the bone to a bone around a joint. So it stabilizes the joint. So without a ligament in the knee joint, your knee can become unstable and then have a higher risk of instability, or your knee might give out on you. So that the ACL really stabilizes the knee joint and protects the knee joint.
Okay, and there's a higher risk of an injury to the ACL in the female than the male, and why would that be?
So there's a couple different explanations about why females might have higher risks of injuries than males. And there's a lot of different studies out there. Look, and it's about the female athletes who participate in the high-risk sports, such as basketball, soccer, and volleyball, have a 2- to 8-fold greater rate of ACL injury than their male counterparts. And these injuries usually occur during their non-contact injuries. Most of the time there are some contact injuries, but mostly when they come down from a jump or when they're making a sudden change in direction when running, these are when these injuries occur.
So like a pivoting, if you want to move around a defender and pivot out of the way, a twist in the knee, is that what's going on in that case?
Yeah, exactly. And some of the reasons why female athletes may have a higher risk is just the neuromuscular control of a female sometimes is different. And there has been some studies that have looked at the descriptive and analytic videotape reviews of female athletes that have had ACL injuries. In general, some of these, when they do tear their ACLs, they can have lateral positioning of their trunk. So so their trunk is then positioned over that extremity that's injured, and that creates a high torque at the knee that can become sufficient to tear the ACL.
Does the generally speaking, I think it's fair to say the women has a wider pelvis structure than men. Is that also part of what you're describing?
Exactly. Your hip is more lateral, so then sometimes a female is, who they need to then position their trunk laterally to get their center of balance over that extremity may this kind of movement may increase the torque at the knee, leading to a higher incidence of ACL tears in females.
And so if that happens, whether it be for men or young ladies, you have a torn ACL. How do you evaluate an ACL as far as management, ACL injury, I should say?
So when a child comes in with ACL, first the signs that you've torn an ACL is that the young female or male that has the injury, they'll hear a pop in their knee joint, and then they'll have severe knee swelling and pain, and the knee will pretty much blow up like a balloon. There'll be a effusion and swelling in the knee joint, and that's the initial signs. And when I evaluate them in the office, you can usually just with physical exam determine whether or not that injury has occurred, and then you get an MRI to evaluate that, and MRI is a magnetic resonance imaging study, and it basically shows me all the soft tissues inside the knee joint, and what this just confirms my findings, because there is other associated problems with ACL tears. ACL tears can occur and cause damage to the bearing surface in the knee, so that's the initial evaluation.
And if it's not repaired properly, can it cause increased risk of arthritis later in life and other issues?
Yeah, so your ACL doesn't necessarily need to be repaired. John Elway, when he was going for the Super Bowl, he had an ACL tear, and He didn't have his repaired, but he braced it. Well, why didn't he have his ACL repaired? Well, probably, I can't speak for him, but he may have, he may have had to take too much time off, and for the rehabilitation and recuperation that he didn't want to do this right at the end of his career. It might have ended his career if he would have done that. But in younger kids, you do need to have that ACL reconstructed because it stabilizes and protects your knee joint.
Now, we talked before the show began about the consideration of the growth plates and the impact or the concept of the growth plates in making the decision to operate. Would you review that for our listeners? First off, the whole concept of what a growth plate is, and then how that enters into the decision as far as management of these surgical issues.
Okay, so in ACL reconstruction in kids who are still growing is slightly different from the adult that has an ACL reconstruction. The reason is growth plates, and if when you are performing an ACL reconstruction, and if you do it the way that you do it in adults, you drill through growth plates. And there is some basic science evidence out there that says you can drill through growth plates without causing a problem as long as the ACL reconstruction is performed appropriately. And then there's also very young kids that may have an ACL tear. If they're 8 or 10 years old, these kids have a lot of growth left. And then so there's ACL reconstructions where you can do to avoid those growth problems and avoid drilling through the growth plates. So if it is performed correctly, there is ways of stabilizing the knee and preserving the and protecting the joint with the ACL in kids that are growing and avoiding growth problems and doing reconstructions.
Because the conventional approach, or you mentioned that in some cases there's a reluctance, there may be reluctance to operate on these kids when they're young and they have an ACL tear because of the impact on the growth plates.
Exactly, yeah. There's not. Some people don't necessarily have the training and the instructions. It's an emerging field, pediatric sports medicine, and there's special reconstructions that you need training in to learn how to do these operations.
So there's ways to handle the situation to avoid future problems and still strengthen and support that knee so the child can return to play sports.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We have a caller on the line, and we encourage, again, every one of you listening, call in with your questions, 289-1860, 289-1860 in Hillsborough County. Outside of the county, toll-free, 877-969-8600. Be right back.
Rob Lane, managing partner of Kirk Green Barbario Company, with thoughts on the Gulf Coast Business Review.
It's very challenging in today's news to find an in-depth understanding of how beneficial business is to a community. And I believe the Gulf Coast Business Review does an outstanding job as it relates to that. I think one of the very important things that Matt and the paper bring to the community is a pro-business approach and in-depth review. While the news is complete and open and honest, I believe it also focuses on the very positive aspects of business. I am Rob Lane, managing partner of Kirk Green Barbario & Company. For me, what I look for in the Gulf Coast Business Review is Coffee Talk. Coffee Talk gives me the current events and those people that are in the news. I also enjoy their spotlight on companies. Rarely do we get to see local businesses highlighted in such detail that you really get to learn what the business is about and who their leaders are.
The Gulf Coast Business Review, where business starts.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, Visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a Best Doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's Top Ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860. And everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are today tackling pediatric sports medicine orthopedics with guest expert, pediatric orthopedic surgeon Dr. Drew Warnick of the Children's Orthopedics and Scoliosis Surgery Associates in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I wanted to also share with you, for those that are listening and want to call in, Dr. Warnick also has expertise in the management and evaluation of concussion injuries in kids and adolescents, too. So, again, if your kids children are playing contact sports that they may, for example, football, that may have concussive injuries, and you have questions on that, not just for evaluation, but also treatment, prognosis, management, and so on. Again, great opportunity. Call in now, 289-1860. Okay, on the line is Sage. Now, Sage is a patient of Dr. Warnick's. And Sage, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, now, it's great to have you here today. It's nice of you to join us on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Tell us how old you are, Sage, and what your orthopedic problem was.
14, and I tore my ACL and meniscus.
How did you tear it, Sage?
I was at school playing basketball, and I tore it before playing. I was in BMX, and when I jumped in the air, and I unclipped, and I landed on my knee, and my knee like popped, and I went to the doctor, and my other previous doctor, and he said I had tore my ACL and meniscus. And he said that if I had surgery with him, then I would have a chance of growth stuff.
Okay. Kind of like, problems with growth.
Yeah, problems with growth.
How old were you when you had that first injury with the ACL tear?
First one, I think it was around 13.
All right. So last year you were with BMX and
yes.
you had this ACL injury, ACL tear injury, and you were advised by an orthopedic surgeon at that point to hold off, to not have the repair,
to hold off,
because it may affect your growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did you do?
I like what he said to hold it off, so I did. And every time I'd be doing sports or anything, all of a sudden if I were to walk on it the wrong way, it would pop out, do that popping like Dr. Warnick said. So I was at school. This is when the major part happened. I was at school playing basketball. And someone passed it down court to me, And the kid came running up fast, so I figured if I stopped, let him pass me and cross over, you know?
Right.
And as I turned away, his leg got crossed up in mine, and it popped again. Now, usually when it pops, it hurts about maybe 10 seconds and then kind of takes your breath away.
Right.
But this time, I couldn't move it at all, so I figured I dislocated it. And we ended up going to Dr. Warnick and had stuff done. He knew right away that it was a torn ACL and meniscus and possibly torn cartilage.
All right. Now, before we get into that, so the initial orthopedic surgeon, was the advice was it okay to do some, get back to some sports, limited sports? What was the advice besides not going to surgery?
Yeah, he says you can try it. Okay. However, it could possibly happen, and if it does, to come back to him.
Okay.
And I figured I'd just ignore it, and I did. And one time, and like I said, it got really bad that one time, so we went to a different doctor.
Well, you said that just walking on the school campus, you would occasionally have some problems. It would.
Yeah, if you were, say I were to turn around and walk the other way, or say for instance pivot or something, it would just pop out, like give out, sort of. It would just give out, and the pain would just take your breath away. It was horrible.
Okay, and so you presented to Dr. Warnick, and Drew. Sounds like you knew right from the start what you were going to be dealing with, to some extent anyway.
Yeah, well, he can't, you know.
Okay, and we have a hard break here, so Sage, hang on. We'll be right back, and we'll tackle some more of this of your case on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Be right back.
Okay.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. While the WikiLeaks website dodges online threats, its founder remains on the run, quite literally. Julian Assange says, quote, he's faced hundreds of death threats. He's begun seeking donations to an account under his name through the Swiss postal system. The U.S. ambassador to Switzerland says the country should very carefully consider whether it should shelter someone who's on the run from the law, as he puts it. The Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, says the question is no longer whether tax cuts will be extended. It's just how long. He says deals should be cut this week. New York Senator Charles Schumer has introduced a bill that would punish anyone who misuses images produced by full-body scanners at airports. Violators could get a year in jail. And a holiday tradition that began 12 years ago in Gloucester, Massachusetts, spreading across New England. Communities are competing to see who can build the best Christmas tree out of lobster traps, and they do have a lot of them up there. This is SRN News.
The U.S. is facing an espionage crisis, WikiLeaks, an enormous tax increase,
prevent a tax hike,
and a struggling economy.
Getting our economy going again.
So what's President Obama doing? Why, he's looking through travel brochures, planning his Hawaiian vacation this Christmas.
Gorgeous.
So while we're all preparing for a tax increase, let's hope President Obama will be on the beach enjoying lots of fruity tropical drinks with umbrellas.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mele Kalikimaka, Mr. President. Talk Radio 860. WGUL.
Unhappy with your child's school? Looking for a more effective option? Get the small classroom atmosphere without the private school price at Imagine Schools in St. Petersburg. A public charter, K-7, and tuition-free. Imagine Schools is open to any student eligible to attend Pinellas County Schools, giving your child the preparation for a better future. Enrollment is filling fast, so call now, 727-821-7100. That's 727-821-7100. Online at ImagineSchoolsStPetersburg.com.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back, and we are tackling pediatric sports medicine and orthopedics with guest expert pediatric orthopedic surgeon Dr. Drew Warnick of the Children's Orthopedics and Scoliosis Surgery Associates in St. Petersburg, Florida. And on the line is Sage. Sage, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Great. Sage is 14 years old, and he suffered an ACL tear, which is an anterior cruciate ligament tear of the knee. Which knee was it, Sage?
My left one.
Your left knee. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, when he was having some fun with BMX, and the concern of his orthopedic surgeon at that time was whether or not he could have surgery in a because of the concern about affecting his growth. And so it was elected not to do any surgery, be careful and monitor it. And ultimately, about a year later, playing basketball, you suffered another injury in the same knee.
Yes.
And so you went to Dr. Warnick. And, Drew, would you share with our listeners what your evaluation revealed?
Yeah. First of all, hey, Sage, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, so the symptoms that Sage was describing, how his knee would pop on him, even with just walking and shifting or pivoting his knee, I mean, that's what happens when you don't have an ACL. And or when you tore your ACL, and it's because it doesn't heal itself. It doesn't heal itself.
That's a very important point.
Yeah.
People think of, getting injured, tissues being torn, and the body tends to heal itself. But I guess ligaments don't. Just generally speaking, ligaments?
Some ligaments do, but because the ACL is inside of that fluid cavity of the knee joint, that's not a very good healing environment. And then so when the ACL tears and stretches out, it does not repair. So the problem with that is that you lack the stability in your knee afterward. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the symptoms that Sage had. He had, when he was walking or pivoting or playing basketball, he had those symptoms. Every time that knee would pop on him, that was symptoms of the knee giving out on him and then becoming unstable. What happens, the dangerous part of that is that every time that happens, it puts all the rest of the cartilage, the bearing surface of the knee joint, it puts it at risk.
Let's take an aside and briefly discuss the anatomy of the knee. What cartilage you're talking about, the menisci, the and so forth.
Yeah, so the way that I like to describe the meniscus is that if you jump up and land on the ground on your butt, it's going to hurt. But if you jump up and you land on an inner tube, it doesn't hurt so bad. And that's what the meniscus does. The meniscus is a shock absorber in the knee. And it's a C-shaped, almost like, an inner tube. And it's basically a shock absorber and a stabilizer. It has different functions, but it's important for the longevity of the knee so you don't have osteoarthritis in your knee at a later time.
And become potentially crippled.
Yep.
And so the meniscus and the cruciate ligaments work together to support the knee.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so when your ACL is out or torn, does that put extra stress on the meniscus?
Exactly. So when your ACL is torn, what happens is your knee will give out, and then you have, even with one episode of instability, you have a very high chance of injuring that meniscus and tearing that meniscus.
Explain how that happens.
So when you do not have the ACL, your knee can kind of roll and slide a little bit more in the tibia, the bottom part of your knee. The knee is a hinge joint, it can slide forward on there.
Okay.
And so that every time it slides forward on there, it puts a lot of stress across the meniscus and it tears your meniscus. And once you tear your meniscus, that's your shock absorber in your knee. So. That provides the longevity of your knee. You do not want to tear your meniscus.
Okay.
And so that's why, for all kids that come by, you want to do something for them to stabilize their knee joint, like an ACL reconstruction.
Right. So this is like a domino effect. Once an ACL goes, then if it's not repaired and strengthened, and the knee strengthened, then the next domino may be a meniscus.
Yeah.
And which is what happened with Sage.
Yeah, and it's a good concern, for everyone to not want to injure growth. You don't want to injure growth and those kind of things, but there is, ACL reconstructions where you can repair, you can reconstruct the ligament. You can, again, doesn't repair itself, but you can reconstruct it and provide stability in the knee, so that you avoid incidents where they go and they tear a meniscus.
Okay, and this is what we were getting to before earlier in the show, that there are techniques that you're experienced with that allay the fears of. Impact or negatively impacting the growth plates when kids have ACL tears.
Yes, it minimizes the risk, so it's very, very rare if you would have a growth injury with these kind of reconstructions.
So this is important for our listeners to understand, again, and this is the beauty of medicine because, progress is a wonderful thing, but to get the knowledge out to people who can benefit from it is really what we're all about, is sharing the knowledge with the people so it's recognized that there is such a thing as as a procedure to stabilize a knee, repairing an ACL without significantly impacting the growth plates. This is very important information. So, Sage, did you have surgery then by Dr. Warnick?
Yes, sir.
And how'd that go?
Great.
Okay, so, Drew, I guess you repaired the meniscus and the ACL both?
Yeah, so what I think happened with Sage is I think he tore his ACL initially, and then with when going back to activity, then he tore his meniscus the second time. When he presented me that second time when his needle was locked up, that's when his both of his meniscus was torn on not just one side of the knee joint, but both sides of the knee joint. So then I was able to go in and repair both the meniscus, and I was very happy with the result. And then I did a ACL reconstruction to it, and then in a certain way, in a special way, to avoid growth problems. And you know, we're hoping for the best.
Excellent. How long ago was your surgery, Sage?
I'd say about a month ago, I think.
Okay.
I don't really remember. Maybe
beautiful.
Maybe a little bit over a month.
How soon can Sage go back to sports after the surgery?
So usually, you know, I wait till about 6 to 9 months to go back to sports.
Okay.
The reason is because, you know, I can reconstruct an ACL and hold it in place, but really what the body does then is the body and the bone then grabs onto that ligament mm-hmm. as its own, and that
strengthens
takes a long
it.
Period of time. And then they have to get their all their strength back.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get all their range of motion back. And then they have you know, physical therapy, and then they progress to a sports specific activity. Mm-hmm. You know, once all that's in place, then you know then they go back to sports.
But you can tell already, like at school, you don't have that. You don't feel like your knee is weak like it was before.
No, it feels like it was before I heard it.
So the biggest challenge, Sage, is to listen to your doctor and not jump back in there and play sports, huh?
Yeah.
All right, listen, any questions you have of Dr. Warnick since you have this opportunity to on the radio show with him now?
I don't know. I guess I can say thank you for like having the surgery be successful on my knee. Appreciate it.
Sage, yeah. And that,
you're welcome,
that,
Sage.
Those few words are, believe me, are a million words.
Yeah.
Thanks
yes,
so
sir.
Much for joining us. Have a great day, and good luck with that knee.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay,
you
Sage, we'll see you soon.
On the line is Angela from Tampa. Tampa has a question about kids and foot cramps. Angela, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Program.
Thank you.
Now, are these cramps of the feet or what?
Well, actually, it's leg cramps and calf and feet.
Okay. Leg cramps and are the feet normal?
Well, they look a little flat. I have my son is almost 7 years old, and he's had these for at least 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years. And usually at night, but sometimes just during the day. And I've talked to my doctor about it, and he said just give him more potassium, you know, like bananas and Gatorade. And that didn't seem to help. I did do some research online and found out that sometimes children with flat feet might have cramps.
Okay.
So I don't know if that means anything.
All right, so it's your child is 7 years old for the last several years, at least 3-4 years, has developed cramps in the legs. Both legs?
Yes.
Okay, and is it above the knee or below the knee where the cramps are located?
Below the knee.
Okay, is it ever the thighs or always the calves?
Do you hear that ringing?
Yeah, and that's we're having some technical issues here.
Okay, okay. All right. What was the question again?
Is the cramping the thighs are the thighs ever engaged in the cramping as well, or just the calves?
I don't think the thighs are involved, but sometimes the knees,
okay.
And then all the way down.
But both legs.
Yes.
Okay, Drew, flat feet can they ultimately cause this kind of presentation?
Yeah, is it when you're describing cramps, is it more of a pain, or is it the muscles are going into spasm? Or what when you say cramps, what do you mean?
All I can say is what he says, and they're extremely painful to the point where they wake him up, or if he's asleep, and he's just writhing in pain, crying, and I mean, just it's well, awful. And I get a moist heat pad for him, and that seems to help a little. And then I also give him Tylenol sometimes.
But the moist heat seems to relax them.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And does he have any other medical issues?
No.
Otherwise healthy.
Right. Some allergies, but that's, you know.
Right.
So with flat feet, you know, we do see a lot of kids that come in with complaints of flat feet. And I mean, the flat feet can cause pain, and sometimes it becomes symptomatic. And you know, based upon exam, we will see whether or not the flat feet is rigid or if it's flexible. If it's flexible, and there's just specific tests we can do in clinic to look at this. And if it's a flexible flat foot, then that can be just a normal variation. And are you flat footed, or is father flat footed at all?
I'm not flat footed. I'm not sure if my husband is or not.
Okay.
I haven't looked, but I'll make sure I do.
Let's say that the foot is flexible, okay? Because it sounds like is there any gait problems, walking problems that he has?
No.
Does he can run? He can run and have no problem run around.
Yes.
So if it's flexible, how do you orthotics? How do you approach this?
Yeah. So flexible flat feet. Usually the first step would be getting some orthotics. Sometimes you can get the custom made orthotics, or you can find some that have pretty good arches that are over the counter. And sometimes that will help the position of the foot, and help get rid of some of the pain and cramping.
Okay. Well, I actually, that you said that, I did just recently go to CVS and get Dr. Scholl's orthotics, where you stand on the platform and it tells you what you need
mm-hmm.
for your foot. And he has them in his slippers too for at home. So I try to make sure he wears them as much as possible. He has them in his shoes and a separate pair in his slippers. So you think that would be the way to go right now?
Yeah, has that helped him so far? How long has he been doing that for?
Well, the problem is when he comes home sometimes, I have three other children. It's kind of hard to make sure that he's got his slippers on all the time. And so it's more of, you know, him reminding himself to do it. So he's not real good about the slippers, but they're in his shoes. So I think overall maybe he's had less
cramping?
Yes. Less cramping.
Okay. Let's say, Drew, let's say that that these cramps become more prevalent in spite of the orthotics. What would you recommend at that point? For example, a custom orthotic or an evaluation?
Well, I would probably get an evaluation. You know, I'd come in and see, and there's different problems that can be in the foot. Sometimes kids can have fused bones that limit their motion and cause cramping and cause issues like pain. Sometimes they can have, they can have fractures or chronic ankle pain from an ankle sprain, or sometimes they can have cartilage defects in the joint that can be causing pain. It doesn't sound like this is that kind of issue. It sounds like more like a muscular issue, but I definitely recommend an evaluation to come
good,
in to see.
A good general examination if it persists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think, one last, if I may, do you think there's a significant difference in a custom orthotic versus an over-the-counter orthotic?
Well, in growing kids, you know, because they're growing so fast, sometimes the custom-made orthotics are very expensive. So what I would like to recommend, for parents who is to go out there and try some of the over-counter ones first, because they're a lot cheaper, and because they're growing and you're changing shoe sizes mm-hmm. a lot, then that'd probably be the first thing way to go. And if it doesn't work, then we can try the custom made ones. They're a little bit more expensive because they have to be molded and mm-hmm. and all that. So
okay, good. Go ahead, Angela.
I have one other question. This is about me. I'm obviously not a child, but maybe you can help me here. I have a problem with my neck and my back and that sort of stuff. And I was told many years ago that I had one hip higher than the other. And most recently, a chiropractor told me that I needed a, what do you call those, little instep or a little...
Insert?
Insert to just put in my shoe and to start with a thicker one. And so I started wearing that, and remarkably, it was phenomenal. It got so much better. I had no pain. Everything loosened up. And then he said, I'll wear that for about 5 or 6 weeks and then switch to a thinner one. Okay. And then he said, eventually you won't need it at all. Is that true? Is there some validity to that?
Is there some remodeling of the hips or some of the skeletal system?
So the main problem you're having is neck pain. Is that correct?
Neck and shoulder.
Neck and shoulder?
Yeah.
And lower back pain also or no?
Yeah, but, you know, that's the only when I bend down and twist a certain way.
And then when you were told that one leg was longer than the other, who told you that?
When I was probably 13, they came to the school and checked me for scoliosis.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to go further to see a doctor in Chicago because it was to the point where they had to give you a second opinion or something. I had a little bit of scoliosis, but not that severe. But that's when they told me was at that appointment.
Okay, so they told you that your scoliosis was due to a leg length discrepancy?
I don't know that that was why I had the scoliosis, but at that visit, they mentioned to me that I had one hip higher than the other.
Okay. So, you know, sometimes there's different types of scoliosis, and my bosses, that's all they do is scoliosis surgery, and they're doing scoliosis surgery on kids, and it's mostly girls in their teens, and that's called idiopathic scoliosis. And then there's also scoliosis that is due to leg length discrepancy. It sounds like that's what you had.
Okay.
So, usually if you have a small leg length discrepancy and it's and you can treat it successfully with a small shoe lift, then and that improves your symptoms, I think that's great.
So it makes sense what she's experiencing.
Yeah, that kind of all falls in line and makes sense. And I wouldn't necessarily expect, you know, they've done some studies on scoliosis looking at, you know, does it cause long-term back pain? And with the more mild forms, you know, there's no real association with an increased risk of back pain than if you don't have scoliosis. But it can cause some back symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know,
how about her observation or sharing that she was instructed to change from a thick shoe lift to a thinner shoe lift after the symptoms resolve? Does that make sense?
Oh, I'm not too sure about that. Right, you know, if you're wearing a shoe lift and it's resolved your symptoms, I wouldn't necessarily go and change that.
To a thinner one?
Yeah, I would just keep the one you have. If you feel great after that one, then I would just use that. I wouldn't try and switch it out.
All right. That answered my question, I guess.
Excellent. All right. Any other questions, Angela?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you for your help.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Very good. And I've got a question on concussions. I have an in-law who played high school football and was injured. He was a lineman, and someone came from behind and hit him in his cervical spine, taller boy. And he was hospitalized. He had no damage, just, I guess, a sprain, I guess, in the C-spine, cervical spine, more of a sprain. Never lost consciousness, no amnesia, and he was hospitalized for a couple of days, I guess, to let the swelling subside. What generally do you recommend for kids that have experiences like that, that want to even consider, you know, going back and playing sports, football, and so forth? Obviously, the risk is there for significant injury, but if you've had one injury like that already, are you more susceptible to have potentially suffer loss if you have a second injury?
Yeah, so a C-spine injury might be a little different than concussion, just depending on, you know, what you're looking at. Is the question more about C-spine or more concussion?
Let's talk about both briefly.
Okay. So, you know, these can be very dangerous injuries. And there's an old way of, so first, just with concussions, you know, where I trained in Atlanta, there's some specialists there that I trained with, and so with concussions, a concussion is a metabolic injury to the brain, and what happens is once you take a good hit to the head, and if there's a helmet to helmet contact injury, then there's signs and symptoms of concussion. So there can be, if you have some dizziness or headache or amnesia, you lose loss of consciousness, those kind of things. You can have one of those metabolic injuries to the brain, and your brain needs a lot of time to recover from that. And if you go back too early into sport and sustain a second injury, then you can sustain a permanent brain injury or, you know, even death.
So because time is short, so if you have a concussive injury, then it's recommended to stay out of sports until when?
Yes, you want to stay out of sports until you're evaluated by a medical professional.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that your concussion has fully healed. Okay. There's different ways of seeing that, but you definitely want to be evaluated.
So if you go back on the sidelines and you're feeling pretty good, even though you just hit and felt dizzy, the message here, the take-home message is for parents and so forth, is to not let the child go back and play until he's evaluated in an office by a specialist. Would you agree with that?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's move on again because time is short. How about a C-spine injury?
So with C-spine injuries, if there's a football player and he's tackles slightly wrong and they have a helmet-to-helmet injury and they have neck pain, you know, that can be a serious issue there too. They can have fractures in their C-spine. They can have traction nerve injuries, that what otherwise known as a stinger, when their arm goes numb or those kind of things. And
in the case that I'm referring to, of the in-law, everything's resolved. In other words, no stinger, what it sounded like was trauma, swelling, but no sustained damage. How should he be, generally speaking, how should someone like that be counseled as far as returning to sports?
Well, if it was the first time and it was and just a stinger and the arm went dead, and if it's after it's fully resolved, I think it'd be okay to go back after being evaluated by a medical professional. Sometimes you need to get some X-rays of the C-spine to make sure that there's no fractures or anything that occurred. And sometimes there can be anomalies. Sometimes there can be an extra transverse process off of one of the neck bones that can put pressure on nerves and then put you at a predisposition to having these kind of injuries.
It's a scary thing, of course, for family to see a loved one lying on the ground, you know, and then fortunately the symptoms resolved, any symptoms that the child had resolved. But obviously just as important is looking forward and what to do. So.
I think I would say that after any kind of those injuries, you need to go back. You need to be evaluated by a medical professional before returning to sports or anything like that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk with Jack, who's on the line. Be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
Seen him in a long time.
Mine too, and at Christmas, I miss him most.
Chuck Colson tells how for just $57, you can help reach 5 hurting children.
Christmas is an especially tough time for kids with a mom or dad locked up in prison. And that's why this project, Angel Tree, is a wonderful God-given opportunity to break through all that pain and make an eternal difference.
Call 1-888-ANGEL-05 and help a child feel loved and a little less alone. Your gift of $57 will help us touch the lives of 5 hurting children who have a mom or dad in prison. To say thank you, we'll send you a beautiful 2010 Angel Tree ornament for your tree. That's 1-888-ANGEL-05.
Why should these kids suffer because of the mistakes of their mom or dad? Please call 1-888-ANGEL-05 and be as generous as you can.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press.
Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands.
Welcome back to the Focus on Females. See if we can cut the music.
Dynamic smile will change how you feel and how others see you. Improve your image and self-confidence with Amley and Amley Orthodontics. Doctors Ed and Rob Amley, serving St. Pete and the Bay Area for over 35 years, provide the highest standard of orthodontic care for all ages. Effective, convenient, and affordable. Take care of your smile today. Call to schedule a complimentary orthodontic consultation at 727-381-1062. That's 727-381-1062. Or log on to amley-amley.com.
Attention, Tampa. Your neighbors are talking about it. Your coworkers are talking about it. Even your broker is talking about it.
Hey, Bill, I'm a big fan of yours. Great teacher.
Bill, thank you very much. I personally want to thank you for saving me a fortune at the end of 05.
Never miss your show, and if a house is on fire, I don't leave till the show is over.
You've been really great for me. I've been with you for about 5 years, and I've just moved to a new level of trading.
Find out what everybody's talking about. Join Phil Grandy and Phil's Gang. 3 to 4 on Tampa's Talk Radio 860 WGUL. And at Phil.
Your choice for intelligent talk. Talk Radio 860 WGUL, Dunedin, Tampa Bay, a service of Salem.